Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. I want to look at verse 14. Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 14, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land." Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, his son of Neri, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, "Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Amen. Turn on over now to verse 26. And the Bible says in verse 26, Nehemiah 32 said, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes, if God will be my help on this thought. Bring us back, O Lord. Bring us back, O Lord. Now I want to share with you just a little bit in this chapter. That Jeremiah, you know, he is that weeping prophet. And he wept and he cried for the nation of Israel. He cried for his people, amen, because he loved the people of God. He loved his family, loved his friends. He loved the folks around him, and he loved the nation of Israel. I want to say, praise God, I love the nation that we live in. I love the people of America, amen, and God does too. As we look at this today and we see the story, if you go back to the beginning, the Bible tells us that Jeremiah is locked up in a prison, amen. He's locked up in the prison house in chapter 1 and in chapter 32 in verse 1. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, and the king of Babylon's army has besieged the city of Jerusalem. So we see the story. We see Jeremiah in a besieged city. We see Jeremiah besieged in that place. And we see the things that take place as Jeremiah began to tell them what was going to take place. He began to preach to them the word of God. But I want to say, they didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. Even though Jeremiah was telling them the truth from God, they didn't want to hear it. Amen. I want to say, our flesh probably don't want to hear a whole lot that God has to say. Our flesh don't like a whole lot because it interferes with the way that we live. And most of the time, it interferes with the way that we think. But I want to say, our thoughts is not God's thoughts. Amen. And he puts it in a volume of books so we can know what God's thinking about. I got to thinking about that. Praise God. He's always a thinking about me, and he's always a thinking about you. You are always on God's mind. Praise the Lord. Hey, ain't you glad he never forgets you? Hey, I might forget to remember you if I'm thinking on something else, but he never forgets to remember you. Hey, I know that's bigger than I am. I can't figure all that out, but praise God, God's got it all in control. But so we see the story here. He's locked up in the king's house. He's under guard for telling them the truth. And they didn't want to hear the truth. Amen. They had other things they'd like to do. And we said, and while he's there locked up in the guard's house, God comes along and he tells him, said, "Nehemiah, said, I want you to make a purchase. So I want you to purchase some property." Amen. Kind of an odd situation. So Nehemiah's locked up in the house, locked up in the king's house under guard, and the Lord comes up and says, "Nehemiah, so I want you to make a purchase of land." Now they're under siege. They're fixing to be taken into captivity. Jeremiah done told them they's going to be taken into captivity. But God comes to Jeremiah and he says, "I want you to buy some property in the land." So Jeremiah said he purchased the property, and the Bible says your uncle's going to come along. He's going to have a piece of property. You have a right to redeem that property. And he said, "I want you to redeem that property. I want you to buy that property." So Jeremiah buys the property. Amen. And he says, "I want you to only buy it," but he said, "I want you to register it. I want to make sure it's all done right and legal." He said, "I want them to be witnesses, praise God, to the possession of it." And he said, "I want you to take it, praise the Lord, and I want you to put it in the deed and the title deed. And I want you to put it in an earthen vessel, praise God, and I want you to bury it, glory to God, to realize that, glory be God, that you're going to get to come back to it." Amen. Praise the Lord. I like this. Amen. What a story we have. And Jeremiah begins to make a statement here. And he makes a statement to, from the Lord. And he says, Lord, I've done what you told me to do. He says, I bought a purchase, I purchased this property that you told me to buy. And he said, I bought it according to what you told me to do. Amen. So he said, he makes a statement. Jeremiah says, hey, listen. And he prays God, the God of heaven. Amen. And he says, the God of heaven, he prays with confidence because he's talking about, he realizes God's power. Amen. So he prays to him. He said, God in heaven and the God of earth, praise God. He said, I know that you're able to do what you say you'll do. I know that you're able to keep your promises to me. Ain't you glad, God, we're serving a promise-keeping God? Amen. Absolutely, praise God. He keeps his promises to us. But we see the Bible teaches here that he said, I've delivered a purchase. He said, now when I delivered a purchase, verse 16, and unto Barak and the son of Neri, I prayed unto the Lord. So you see Jeremiah, he begins to pray and he begins to talk to the Lord. Amen. He begins to speak to God. And as he begins to speak to God, he's a confidence who he is. In verses 8 through 22, he says, God, I know who you are. He says, I know what you've done. He said, I know the loving kindness unto thousands and the recompense the iniquity of fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great and the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and might and work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of sons of men. To give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He said, I know you're just and justifier. Praise God. You are just, you're righteous in all your dealings with men. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand why God does what he does. I was talking to a person yesterday. Don't understand why God does what he does. But God does it for his glory. Amen. Praise God. So we see the confidence ahead. He said, who has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even in this day and in Israel, and among other men, has made thee a name name as at this day, has brought forth thy people, Israel, the land of Egypt, with signs and wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Corby Gay said, God, you've done exactly what you said. See your mighty power. See what you've done. Amen. You've done exactly what you said you do. You've kept your promise. Amen. And then he goes on here and in his statement, he says, you know what? He said, I've got a confidence in you, but he said, I've got an uncertainty too. Because we're failures. He said, we haven't kept our part of the deal. He said, we've let down on God. Amen. Look at verse 23. He said, and they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Amen. So you said you give them everything you promised you'd give them, but they come in and they done evil in the sight of God. That's what he's saying. He said they done evil in the eyes of God. He said, behold the mounts, they are come out to the city to take it. He said, we're besieged about. He said, they've got the catapult set up. Hey, they're just getting ready to bombard it. Soon they can haul in enough rocks. Amen. He said, his thing ain't getting better. He ain't getting no better. Kind of like the day and hour we're living in, it ain't getting no better. But God. Amen. And he said, and the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans to fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. Now, do you see this? So what he's saying here, he said, Lord, this, everything that's been promised has come to pass. He said, we failed and let you down. Amen. You've kept your part, but we haven't kept our part. But then comes Jeremiah's statement here. He comes up with an uncertainty. He's a little bit uncertainty into about God's purpose. I think sometimes we have some uncertainty in our lives about God's purpose. You know, we tend to want to ask why. Why are we and why are that or why this? Amen. But we know that God is and he can, praise God. And so he asked this question. He says, thou hast said unto me, O Lord, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. He said, Lord, I've kind of got a... He said, I don't really understand. He said, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. He said, I don't understand the purpose that you told me. I don't understand the purpose in purchasing this field. But he said, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Amen. Why? Because God's going to bring them back again. Amen. God is, hey, listen, praise God. God wants to bring us back again to where we already, bring us back again, oh Lord, to where we need to be. Amen. See, because we realize here that God's bigger than all that. Now, it amazed me. I got to thinking about this. Now, Jeremiah was a praying here, and he was praying to the Lord. And he says here in his prayer, he said, Ah, Lord, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Amen. So, though Jeremiah says this, he says, Lord, he said, I realize that you created everything. You created the heavens. You created everything that's in the earth. And Lord, I realize that if you're able to do that, that there's nothing too hard for you. Now that's Jeremiah's prayer. That's his statement to God. That's the confidence that he has in the Lord. But now notice the Lord. And the Lord is the standard by which we live. Amen. The Lord God is the standard by which we have our hope today. So you have the story, you have the statement, and you have the standard. And I want to say today that God sets the standard. Amen. If me and you set the standard, we'll come up short. But when God sets the standard, and then God makes the statement. Notice what he makes in verse 27. He said, now Jeremiah spoke, and we've heard what he had to say. But now listen to this, the Lord God speaks. Amen. I know, he's like better than Leif Hutton. When the Lord God speaks, we ought to listen. When the Lord speaks, praise God, we ought to pay attention to what he says. Because he don't talk in circumlocution like our president does. He actually says something that he means, and he means what he says. Amen. So Jeremiah says, Lord, I know there's nothing too hard for thee. Amen. You've created the heaven and the earth. There's nothing too hard for God. But then God speaks to Jeremiah. He said, behold, I am. Ego on me. I am God. He said, I am the Lord. Amen. He said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amen. He said, Jeremiah. He said, not only did I create the heavens and the earth, everything that's below the heaven, but praise God, I created all flesh that's on the earth. Amen. Glory be to God. When you get to doubt, when you get to be concerned, when you get to have concern about the purpose of God, praise God, just realize that He created heaven, He created earth, and He created all the flesh that's there. He created me, and He created you, praise God, all for His glory. All for a purpose. For His purpose, amen, that He might receive all the glory. So what we see here in God's standard, His statement, He said, I see what's going on. He said, none of this has taken me by surprise. Now Jeremiah's like, Lord, my uncle's come down. I bought the field over here 3 or 4 miles out of town where I live, my home place. He said, I went ahead and purchased that. I've registered. It's certified. I've got wind. Everything like you said, praise God. I've purchased it. I put it in an earthly vessel, praise God, for the years to come. But I don't really understand why, because we're under siege and meant to be taken into captivity. Amen. But God says, you know what? He said, the purpose that I do it, praise God, so that you might know, amen, that I'm, hey, if I give you a place, I put you, hey, praise God, I'm coming back. And if I come back, He said, I'm going to bring you back. Amen. Praise God. He said, well, I'm going to come back. He said, I'm going to establish myself here again. And where He is, there we shall be also. Amen. Glory to God. What a day that'll be. Every one of us. God says, all flesh I've created. Amen. Heavens and the earth and everything else. And He said, I look down. He said, I see what's going on. You know, when God looks down on us, now He knows exactly what's happening. There's not none of this taking Him by surprise. He knows exactly what's happening in America and in Europe and every other place. But He also knows what's happening in my house, and He knows what's happening in your house. Amen. And the Bible says, goes on here, and He says in verse 28, He's therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city in the hand of the Chaldeans and the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. He said, what you've been preaching is going to come to pass. Amen. He said, I didn't tell you to preach that for naught. He said, and the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roof they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. God says, what reason that what's happening is happening is because you've done wrong in the eyes of God. Amen. He said, you've missed my... He said, what I'm doing is trying to get your attention so that I can bring you back. Amen. Bring us back, oh Lord. Get us our attention, praise God, and bring us back to where we need to be. Amen. Glory be, thank God for a God that don't just let us keep going on our own, but a God that loves us come where and brings us back. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Verse 30 says, for the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger and to the work of their hands, saith the Lord. He said, I'm tired of you trying to work your way in. Amen. He said, it's time you could trust in the Lord. Amen. And he goes on, verse 37, he says, for this city hath been to me as a provocation to mine anger and of mine fury from the day that they built it, even in this day, that I should remove it from before my face. He said, I'm tired of looking at the corruption. Amen. It's taking place. One day I'm going to tell you, God's going to be tired of looking at the corruption in America, praise God, and he's going to remove it from his face. I'm afraid if we ain't careful, we're going to take our eyes off of God. We're going to quit helping that little nation of Israel, and the superpower that we are will cease to be in the day. If we ever quit supporting the nation of Israel, the only reason we existed, the only reason we came to be a superpower in so short a time is because we've always loved the people, the Jew, the nation of Israel. And when we quit loving them and supporting them and backing them and praying for them, amen, we'll fall in a while. I mean, it'll be a short while. But praise God, as long as we trust the Lord, amen, praise God, he'll be on our side and we'll be on his. Amen. He goes on, and he said, because of all the evil children of Israel and children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they and their kings and their princes, their priests and their prophets and their men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Pretty much covers them all. Amen. Pretty much when we begin to sin against God and go contrary to the word of God, it pretty much affects us all. Amen. We can't say, well, you know, it don't affect nobody but me. It affects everybody around you. See, it's a lie of the devil that you can do what you want to and live any way you want to, and it don't affect everybody around you. Everybody around you, hooks is put in them, and they're being pulled the same way. Amen. So we either live righteously according to God's word, or we live unrighteously. There's no middle ground. Amen. We either live right or we live wrong. That's about as plain as you can put it. We live according to what God says, or we live according to what the devil says. We're led by one party or the other. We're either led by the Lord Jesus Christ, walking the footprints of our Savior, praise God, or we're following the pernicious ways of the devil. Amen. He said, well, preacher, I don't like this. This ain't a shouting hallelujah message. Hey, yes, it is. You're a child of God, praise God. We realize that there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Bring us back, O Lord, to the place we need to be for your glory, that you might receive all the praise. But now listen to what takes place. I mean, he's talking to the whole habitation of the land. And he says, they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. He said, what they've done? He said, they've turned our back. He said, I've got a standard. He said, see, God's making a statement about a standard. He said, I've got a higher standard than what they're allowing themselves to be brought along by. God says, I've got a higher standard. I've got a higher standard. Praise God, a reverent standard. Amen. Praise God. But he said, they've turned their back on my standards. Amen. I won't say God's got a high standard. Amen. Why? Because he loves me and you, praise God, enough to make us like unto him. Amen. But we can be more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, even in these days in which we live. And he said, I've taught you. He said, I got up early, so I started early with you. And I started in the beginning to teach you and instruct you. But he said, you haven't paid no attention. He said, you turned your back on me. He said, you don't. There's a whole lot of folks turning their back because we don't want to hear it. Amen. We don't want to hear what God's got to say because it affects what we think. Amen. Amen. What we think. But what we think, praise God, is not what God thinks. Amen. So many times. But praise God, He said, you've turned my back on me. He said, I've got a standard. He said, I'm the standard giver. He said, but you've turned your back on the standard. I'm afraid if we ain't careful, we'll turn our back on the standard that God has. It started about 20 years ago, a little over. Really, if you go all the way back to the early 60s, late 50s, the music started changing. Things, people started becoming more compassive. They started becoming more apt to do different things, to try this and try that, even though they know it was contrary to God's Word. Amen? We become complacent. We become we become manipulated by society. We become acceptive of a whole lot of things. We need to turn, bring us back, O Lord, to a place where our forefathers were, where we stood upon this blessed old King James Bible. But about 20 years ago, things changed. We started getting bombarded by a bunch of books. Then they didn't read like our old King James Bible. And a lot of people began to raise up and they said, you know what? These seem like they're easier to read. They're easier to understand. I want to say, praise God, this old King James Bible ain't too hard to understand if you know the author. Amen. Amen. But I want to say, praise God, you say, preacher, how come we've got so many different versions now? Because a lie, the devil is a liar and a deceiver. And if he can get you confused, praise God, he can destroy your mind and take you away from God. He'll begin to get you to doubt your own salvation. Amen? God, bring us back, O Lord, to a place where we can believe and trust you. They turned their face, they turned their back to God. Amen. It's time that the church looked God in the face and said, God, you are right. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. If what we believe, what we know don't line up with what you say, then it's wrong. Amen. Straight up. That's all. You say, preacher, why do you preach like this? Because I'm going to have to stand and give account one day. Amen. Praise God for what I tell you from this blessed sacred old desk. And I want you to know the truth. I don't want nobody standing to me, praise God, at that day of judgment, the great white throne, point a finger over at me and say, why didn't that preacher tell me? Amen. I want us to know what thus says God. This is the Lord speaking. Amen. This is God Himself speaking to us. And He said, these that's turned their back on God, these that's turned themselves away from the Lord that won't receive instruction. He said, but they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. He said, they set their abominations, the wickedness, praise God, their own ideals and their own lust, praise God. As Brother David talked about this morning, he said, they brought them even in the house of God. The wicked are taking over. He tells us in Psalm chapter 9 about the wicked. Amen. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17 said, wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. But now watch this, verse 19 of Psalms chapter 9. He said, arise, O Lord, and let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. He said, what do you think? Take time and consider this. What do you think about it? He said that we are just men, but He is God. Amen. He said that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Amen. Because they turned their back on God. That's who end up in hell, people that turn their back on God. I'm glad I've got a God that I can walk with, praise God. A God that loves me and cares for me. He gives me instruction. But the Bible says that goes on in verse 35, said they built the high places of Baal, which were in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and the Moloch, by which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Amen. He said, I never thought that they'd go this far. He said, because they said they sin, praise God, and I told them the sinfulness of man and the sinfulness of man's heart. And I told them that they should have a desire toward God because godliness to take care of the sinfulness. Amen. It supersedes it. It replaces it. If we ever want to see heaven, amen, we're going to have to choose God. Praise the Lord. He's the one that makes the difference. He tells us that all the sinfulness that men do will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, "So know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Those sexual sins, that sex outside of marriage. He said, God hates that mess. He said, that's not the way it's designed. He said, you're building relationships that won't last. Amen. He says, nor idolaters. That spiritual sin, that lifting up other things, worshiping other things, putting our eyes and our lust towards other things. Amen. Adulterers, that social sin. Having going out and having multiple partners, cheating on your spouse. He said, that's adultery. He said, nor infirmity. That's even sin against nature itself, against the norm. Amen. When we know to do right, we choose to do wrong. God says, I don't like that stuff. He said, nor abuserism themselves with mankind. Amen. A sin against nature itself. Men with men, women with women do those things. It's unseemly. And getting the, and receiving within themselves the error, that's meat, the penalty, praise God, for that sin. He said, nor thieves. Amen. Those that do outward acts of deceit. Amen. Nor covetousness, that attitude, where that inward attitude of covetousness, wanting something that's not ours. Brother David hit on that again this morning. Amen. He says, nor drunkards. He said, we're supposed to be sober-minded, nor revilers. He said, we're not supposed to speak words that'll destroy. Amen. Nor extortioners. You're not supposed to take stuff away that's not ours. Amen. He said, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he said, and such were some of you. Such were me and you. That's what we were. But he said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. He said, the word of God has cleansed your heart. It showed you the error of your ways. He said, you begin to listen and you begin to hear what God was saying. And it began to help you to realize, praise God, that there is a God and there is help. I appreciate everybody that's been going through and participating in the 52-day challenge. We finished that thing, and I know a couple of weeks into that, some people said, boy, this thing's hard, trying to keep our mind on God and our focus on God and do godly and do right all the time. But I praise God for that, because He showed us in 52 days that we can do this. We can stay with God because God promised He would stay with us. So what we see here, we see God says, these people that will not inherit the kingdom of God, but they're looking for it. But they'll not receive it because of the sinfulness of self. And he said, so were some of you. Amen. Such were some of you. But he said, you've been washed by the word. He said, you've been sanctified. Been set aside. Been made different. Set apart from that person you used to be. He said, you've been justified. Made right. Righteous according to the precious name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. He said, you've been changed from the inside out. He said, now that you know better. Amen. God says, I've showed you. He said, I've been trying to show you, I point you, but you won't listen. He said, but now that you know better. He said, praise God. He said, you built high places and you knew better. He said, places to Baal, said you, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. Amen. He said, his sons of, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire of Moloch. He said, you went away from the things of God and started burning up your people. He said, God never intended you to burn up. God saved you so you don't have to burn. He saved me from the pit of hell so I don't have to burn. Amen. He lifted me out of the pit so I don't have to burn. I don't worry about the fires of hell no more. I don't like fire. Fire's hot. Amen. He said, I never desired anyone to burn. But now listen to what God says about this. Now this is all these sins I've mentioned to you. He said, talking about to pass through the fire in the Moloch, which I commanded. Now this is God speaking. Hello? This is not passed up. This is God speaking. He said, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination. He said, God said, when I designed this thing, He said, I never even imagined they'd go this far. I never even imagined within the past 20 years that we had turned from the Word of God, turned from the thing of God, that we'd start burning our people up. He said, I never imagined that would happen. God said, I can't even fathom what's going on. in the hearts and minds of people. He said, don't make no sense that they should do this abomination. Causes Judah to sin. He said that this sin could just creep in and become part of our society. Become part of who we are. Why? Because we've taken our face off God. God, bring us back again, O Lord, to the place we need to be. Amen. Well, we can take God's Word. We can believe Him. Walk with Him. We can take our people and put them in a hope chest and take them and bury them in a cemetery the way God designed it to be. Amen. Don't nobody wants to be burned up. Amen. I didn't get in this thing to burn. I got in this thing, praise, to thrive and live forevermore with the Lord. Put me in a hope chest, roll me somewhere and bury me. Amen. Just like God commanded it to be done. He said, I never even imagined they'd start doing this. See, all that started way back down there in Egypt. They would take them and they would take the bodies and they would burn them. But see, a whole lot of this sin happened to Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. All this sin, everything I've mentioned to you in 1 Corinthians 6, and it all started down in Egypt. It started in the world. It was never part of God's plan. But God has a different plan. Amen. He says, I see what's going on. So I see, have you turned your back on me? He said, well, you don't want to see my face because you know I'm right. And he said, you don't want to hear my voice. He said, so you turned your back where your ears is pointing a different direction because you choose not to hear. He said, I can't believe it's gone this far. But you know what he says? He said, but I still love you. Amen. God says, I still love you. I still care for you. I still want to help you. He said, but you've turned your back on me. He said, you know better. The Bible says that those know to do good and do it not. To him it's sin. S-I-N. Sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. David read over there in a verse this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. He was all over my message this morning. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 is, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Who are we that we can defy God? He said, I can't believe you're going this far. He said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be that through thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And he says in verse 31 of Hebrews 10, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. He said, I can't believe you've gone this far. But if we ain't careful, we fall into the hands of a living God. And He's going to have to deal with us justly. Give us our just reward. He said, I can't believe you've gone this far. I can't believe we've gone this far. He said, and everybody says, well, you know, it's just the times that we're living in. You know, just the different needs that we have. Yeah, I know the need that we have is a need for God. Bring us back, O Lord, to the place where we see you. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how do you get there? Let me give it to you right quickly, and I'm gonna close. When we see God's face, amen, we see Him face to face. He said, in verse 36, He said, now therefore thus saith the Lord of God, the God of Israel, concerning this city whereof you say, it shall be delivered in the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Amen. He said, you've done seen it. You've done prophesied. That's what's going to happen. He said, behold, He said, pay attention. I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place and I will cause them to dwell safely. Amen. The Lord, bring them again, God. Bring them back, Lord. He said, Jeremiah, He said, the reason I told you to purchase that land, He said, so when I bring you back, you'll have a place to live. Amen. He said, I'm going to bring, He said, don't matter, praise God. You went away from me. You turned my back on you. They're not listening. But praise God, He said, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. Bring us back again, oh Lord, to the place that we need to be. A place with the Lord. when we get that help we need. How do we get? By following the Lord. Amen. By following the Lord, by following His commandments, by following the Lord Jesus Christ, we can dwell safe. And He said, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them, and watch this, and of their children after them. God says, I'll give them, I'm going to take all this mess. He said, you won't have to worry about it. I'm going to give you one way. I mean, I'm going to make this thing so simple, amen, that you won't have to worry about it. He said, I'm going to give you one way. He gives us that way in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, in verse 15, the Bible says this, even the Spirit of truth, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. He says what He says here, He says, Lord, bring us back, amen. And He says, but in order to bring, He said, I'm going to give you a comforter. He said, if you'll follow my commandments, He said, if you'll listen to me, He said, if you'll love me. See, He said that first over Deuteronomy chapter 11. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. He didn't only say that, to love me, keep my commandments. He said, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It wasn't a suggestion. And keep His charge and His statutes and His judgment and His commandments. What? Always. He said, always do what God says. Amen. It ain't about what man says, but it's about what God says. That's what makes the difference. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, and I'll send you a comforter. Amen. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. He said, he set something down inside you so that you know the truth. And the truth makes you free. Bless his holy name. He goes on in John chapter 15 and verse 9. And he says, the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that what? Your joy might be full. Amen. He said, just forget the shenanigans of the world. Forget what the world's saying's okay. And he said, just love the Lord and follow God. He said, everything, you'll have peace in your soul and you'll do right in the eyes of God. Amen. But what we got to do, bring us back, oh God, to a place where we love Him enough to we'll listen to Him, even in the day and hour that we live. Amen. We need to be listening to God. He's got some distinct instruction for us, but we need to be able to hear Him, don't we? Amen. God's speaking to our hearts today, but we ought to be saying, Lord God, bring us back. Amen. Bring us back, oh Lord, to the place that you'd have us to be. I'm afraid, America, we've wandered away from God. And we've wandered away from godliness. And we've accepted things that's not according to His will. But praise God, we know who He is. And we know what He says. Amen. And when we pull back in under the envelope of this blessed old King James Bible, you say, well, preacher, I believe the Bible. Do you believe? You believe this old? Let me just say this, and Claude, you believe this blessed old King James Bible is the Word of God? Huh? Do you believe it? Amen. It's God's Word. It's God breathed. It's inspired. It's God breathed. Amen. That's His Word. Well, if that's God's Word, then we ought to do what God says. Amen. We ought to do what God says. If we're not, we might as well have one of them other books. Amen. But let me say this, if we're doing things that's contrary to this one, then we're living like those others. Amen? We're living like those others. But this here is a precious, precious Word of God. And if we live according to what it says, we'll be well pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Amen? Bring us back, O Lord, to the place you'd have us to be. And give us that help, the hope and the confidence that we need in the day and hour that we live. Amen?